Welcome to Transformed by Grace, a ministry of the Berean Bible Society. Our mission is to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Pastor Kevin Sadler leads us today in a study of the Scriptures designed to transform us by God's grace. Thank you for joining us. Today's time in the Word is entitled, Spirit-Filled in Christ.
We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this time in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. Mark Early tells how a number of years ago, Chuck Colson was standing in a long line in the airport in Jakarta, Indonesia. He and some prison fellowship colleagues had been traveling all night. It was now early morning. The terminal was hot and it was steamy. They were tired. As Chuck relates in his book, Being the Body, passport in my sticky hand, I was exhausted and exasperated at the long, inefficient line snaking ahead of us. I was worried we would miss our next flight and the ministry friends who were waiting for us. But Chuck adds, I was also determined not to let my frustration get the better of me. I talked with my friends, we laughed, and made the best of the situation. 2 years later, he received a letter from a businessman who lived in Singapore. The man had been a follower of Confucius, but he sent his children to Sunday school at a Bible church for moral training. One Sunday, as he picked up his kids, he heard the end of the sermon. A visiting missionary held up a copy of Chuck's first book, Born Again. On the cover was a picture of Chuck. A few months later, this businessman was stuck in a long line in the steaming Jakarta airport. Glancing over into the next line, he spotted the same face he had seen on that book cover. He was so impressed by Chuck Colson's calm demeanor and cheerfulness in a clearly frustrating situation that when he got back to Singapore, he got the book, read it, and trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Mr. Colson's consistent and careful testimony had a deep impact and resulted in the salvation of a soul. Our lives can be powerful testimonies for Christ too as we live out the instruction of Ephesians chapter 5 to walk in love, walk as child of light, walk circumspectly or carefully, wisely before the lost, and as we are filled with the Spirit. We never know the impact we are making and who is watching us and how we live our lives. So that teaches us that we must consistently live these things out of a burden for souls and for the good of others. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Paul here gives a negative and then a positive command. What we allow to influence and control us is the issue here. God doesn't want the believer to be drunk with wine because being drunk leads to loss of control. Alcohol controls and influences how one acts and thinks and speaks. Rather, you see in that verse that God wants the believer to be under control and being controlled by the Holy Spirit so that He influences how we act and think and speak. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." The context of this instruction about being not drunk with wine, the context that the instruction "be not drunk with wine" is found in is about being wise and not foolish. Being drunk with wine and controlled by it is not wise. But allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that is wise for our lives. Drunkenness is also a mark of the flesh, the old nature, the old man. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, envyings, murders, drunkenness." But then you see in the context here of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, that it teaches us that God wants us to put off the old man and to put on the new man. So we need to put off drunkenness and put on a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit and His Word. Sin destroys relationships, and drunkenness has surely been known to do that. But being filled with the Spirit and living a Christ-like life strengthens and builds relationships. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Spirit's filling under prophecy on the day of Pentecost and under the new covenant promises entailed a complete controlling of the believer, which enabled them to keep the law of God and do miraculous things. At Pentecost, the filling with the Holy Spirit was about receiving power from on high, as Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says. As you read the book of Acts, you see how that power from on high by the filling of the Spirit resulted in miraculous signs and wonders and healing and the gift of tongues and having all things common and so on. And these signs and wonders, such as tongues, was for the purpose that they might be witnesses of Christ and His resurrection to the world in accord with their great commission that the Lord gave them. Christ told the 11 in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that was for the purpose that they would be witnesses, the Lord says, "unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." The filling of the Spirit then was different. It was different then under prophecy than it is today under grace. God's program changed. Today we are living in an unprophesied dispensation of grace. And under grace, we learn that the filling with the Spirit is not about enabling the believer to do miraculous signs and wonders. Being filled with the Spirit is now a goal. It's an attainment for our Christian life. The apostle exhorts believers under grace to be filled with the Spirit. Just as he exhorts and prays for them in other places like Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Or Colossians 1:9, to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Or here in Ephesians 3, verse 19, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Yet none of us have been filled with any of these in our Christian life. The Spirit's filling today is about allowing the Spirit to work practically in us and through us to live and serve the Lord, to keep sin out of our life, to conform us to be like our Savior, and to grow in our relationship with the Lord. The Spirit indwells us by God's grace, but we must daily appropriate His help by faith. The phrase, "be filled with the Spirit," is in the present tense in the original Greek, and it means to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Constantly, moment by moment, controlled by the Spirit. So again, this is a practical goal for our lives. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, it isn't about us having more of the Spirit. It is about the Spirit having more of us. We have the Spirit in His fullness. He indwells us. But does He have us fully is the question. Every believer in Christ is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He abides permanently within. But the command is to let the Spirit possess more and more of us as we yield to Him and allow Him to do so. Being filled with the Spirit is something we allow Him to do as His filling works through our yieldedness, our submission, and our obedience to Him in His Word in our lives, allowing Him to lead us, surrendering to His working and changing our attitudes and our actions. And as it's been said, to be filled with the Spirit is to live in the consciousness of the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and to let His mind dominate our life. It is to fill ourselves with God's Word so that His thoughts will be our thoughts, His standards, our standards, His work, our work, and His will, our will. To be filled with the Spirit is a call to be filled with the Word of God, whose author is the Holy Spirit. This instruction then speaks to spending time with the Word, to allow its truths to sink in and to fill our lives. As our lives are filled with God's Word, sin and selfishness and sinful habits are pushed aside more and more, and our thoughts and actions become more and more godly, and we reflect the Lord, and we are transformed by God's grace. God's instructions in Ephesians to be imitators of God in verse 1, and to walk in love in verse 2, and to walk as a child of light in verse 8, and to walk circumspectly and carefully in verse 15. All that needs to be done by being filled with the Spirit and through His strength. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul goes on here to show that the fruit of a Spirit-filled life includes joy and thanksgiving. Barbara McKeever tells us the following. In the middle of a hymn at our church, my young grandson Chandler tugged on my sleeve. I bent over and he whispered in my ear, "The woman behind us can't sing very well, can she?" Knowing the woman had a deep love for the Lord, I said, "Chandler, she sings from her heart. That's what makes it good." And he nodded thoughtfully. Several days later, as he and I were singing along with the car radio, Chandler stopped, turned to me and said, "Grandma, you sing from your heart, don't you?" But that is what God looks at, is He looks at our heart when we sing. And He looks at our heart in whatever we do. Paul first says that in our singing, we'd be speaking to yourselves. Normally you'd think talking to yourself isn't a good thing. But he's talking about yourselves within the body of Christ, speaking to the church. For it's for the purpose in the church of edifying one another, ministering to one another. Paul speaks of believers singing psalms here. And we do that. We put music to the psalms and we sing them often in church. He talks about singing hymns and spiritual songs. Hymns speaks of songs of praise to God. Spiritual songs were songs of testimony that covered a broad category. These are all songs that express what God has done for us. Paul speaks here of how music and singing is to be done in the presence of other believers and in fellowship with them, and singing so that the church might be encouraged and ministered to by song. And then he speaks of how the Spirit-filled believer in assembly joyfully sings and makes melody in their heart. They do so in worship and praise to the Lord. He is the audience to whom we sing. And we gladly offer our worship to Him for all He's done for us in saving us and blessing us and giving us a exalted position in Christ. Being filled with the Spirit leads us to worship the Lord. He prompts and leads us to lift up our voices in worship to the Lord. It is done from the heart in praise to the Lord and for His glory. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we are filled with the Spirit and filled with His Word, the Spirit opens our eyes to the greatness and the goodness and the kindness of God. And this leads to the praise and it leads to the thanksgiving. The Spirit-filled life is not surprisingly God-centered. It acknowledges Him in all our ways and sees His working in our lives. It notices His blessings on every hand. Thomas Merton said, gratitude takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God. As we are filled with the Spirit and are responsive to God's working, and we're sensitive to and we see His goodness in our lives, and we are thoughtful in the Christian life, our thanksgiving can be always, giving thanks always. It can become a state of mind and being, giving thanks always for all things. And we're to be thankful for all spiritual and all physical blessings bestowed on us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Pastor Wilson Watkins, a faithful pastor in Detroit, Michigan, once spoke at a conference I attended as a young man. He said, "We talk often about how glorious it is to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And he paused and he said, "Name them." That convicted me in the pew. I was sitting there thinking, my mind was rattling, thinking about what spiritual blessings that we do have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, we learn about some, but they are sprinkled throughout Paul's letters. And we should be thankful for all of them and have our spiritual eyes open to them. So we should be thankful that we are accepted in the Beloved One, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins. We should be thankful that God has made known unto us the mystery of His will, that we have a heavenly inheritance, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we are justified, declared righteous by faith, that we have peace with God, that we are delivered from the wrath to come, that daily we have the blessed hope of the rapture. And we could go on and on and on in Paul's letters with all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And we should be thankful, giving thanks always for all of them. But Paul says we should be thankful for all things. And all things means all things. It is not less spiritual to thank God for physical blessings. It is more spiritual to include thanking God for physical blessings. Because you are seeing and you are acknowledging the hand of God in His working in your life. Acts 14:17 says, "He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16 says, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their food in due season. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." God provides. He's a giving God. Psalm 145 says that all wait upon Thee, or look expectantly to God for their physical need of food, and God provides for them and gives them their food in due season. We depend on Him for food, and by His creation, He provides it. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Everything that is good comes from His hand. All mankind in general, whether they realize it or not, benefits from the good gifts that God has bestowed upon His creation. In His providence, He has provided the fruitful seasons, the warm sunlight, the rains that produce the harvest which sustains life here upon the earth. So we should be thankful for our food. All of our food is from Him. And when we pray and thank Him for our food, I think you should be specific. God doesn't want just pad, repetitious, emotionless prayers. "Thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. Amen." God cares about you. He cares about everything you're feeling and thinking. He wants you to be real with Him. Thank Him specifically for what you eat. Thank Him for the pizza with extra cheese and pepperoni and the Coca-Cola. Tell Him exactly what you're eating and thank Him for it. Thank Him for the chocolate pie for dessert and for the roast beef, mashed potatoes, homemade rolls. Ask Him to help you eat the asparagus. You know it's good for you. I know I don't like it too much myself. But be specific. Acts 17:25 says, "God giveth to all life and breath and all things." Our life and breath are even things we depend on God for Him, and we should thank Him for it. Psalm 145, verse 16 says, "He opens His hand to us and satisfies the desire of every living thing." God continually opens His hand to us and blesses us on every hand. He does not close His hand and hold back His blessings, but by His kindness and His grace, He opens His hand and He gives abundantly to us. So it is right, it is proper, we should give thanks to God always for our physical blessings, because God is always giving to us. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that the living God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So we need to often stop, think, and thank Him for all the things of our lives that come from His open hand and by His goodness. Because He freely gives us all things in providing for us spiritually and physically, so we should be obeying this instruction to be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives should be filled with thanksgiving, and we should give thanks always because God is always working, and He's always giving, and He's always providing, and He is always good. David C. Manns writes this: during the dark days of the Depression, a preacher by the name of William Stidger remained steadfast in thankfulness to God. When another preacher approached him about his concern over his sermon for Thanksgiving, telling Stidger, "What can I possibly say that's affirmative in a period of depression like this?" Stidger replied, "Why don't you give thanks to those people who have been a blessing in your life and affirm them during this terrible, difficult time?" As William thought on his reply, the thought came to his mind of a teacher very dear to him, a wonderful Christian teacher of poetry and literature from years ago, who had gone out of her way to put a great love of literature and verse in him. It affected all William's writings and his preaching, so he sat down and wrote a letter to this woman, now up in years. It was only a matter of days until he got a reply in the feeble scrawl of the aged. The letter said this: "My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I am in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught in school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in many years." Then William thought of a kindly elder in his church, now retired, an old man who had recently faced the passing of his wife and was all alone. This elder had taken a lot of time, given him advice and counsel and love when he first began his ministry. So William sat down and wrote the man. In 2 days, a reply came back: "My dear Will, your letter was so beautiful, so real, that as I sat reading it in my study, tears of gratitude fell from my eyes. Before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and I called her name to share it with her, forgetting that she was gone. You'll never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I have been walking around in the glow of your letter all day long." In most all of Paul's letters, the Apostle Paul speaks of people that he was thankful for. In following Paul's example, we should tell the people in our lives who've made an impact and a difference in our lives how thankful we are for them too. People are a big part of the all things that God says we are to always be thankful for. And as thankfulness touches the heart of people, as we saw through William Stidger's letters, thankfulness touches the heart of God. We should not overlook the people in our lives that we should thank, but most importantly, we should not forget that when we give thanks to God. The Lord sometimes gives us a verse of Scripture at just the right time in our lives. And often in that moment, we'll think how wonderful the Bible is. And it is. But we forget to thank the one who gave us the Bible and gave us that verse of Scripture. The Lord gives us a loving wife, a loving husband, and our children. In the busyness of life, we forget to thank the one who gave us that precious blessing in our life. He gives us a good job. Sometimes we love the job more than we love Him. He tells us by His word that I gave that to you. And he just wants us to simply look up and say, thank you. And Psalm 92:1 says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's what we see with this passage here in Ephesians. Thanksgiving comes from a humbled heart, being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit gives us that humility that acknowledges that everything good we have received from the Lord. And this will lead to being thankful to Him for all things, always. God is worthy of our thanksgiving. He is worthy to be thanked every single day of our lives. And He is worthy for our thanksgiving to become thanksgiving so that our lives manifest a humble, surrendered, thankful heart for all that God has done for us, living a grateful life for all that we have in Christ. So the Spirit-filled life in Christ is about the Spirit having more of us, being filled with the Word, and that leads us to a life filled with joy and thanksgiving. At Berean Bible Society, we have many helpful tools to enrich and deepen your study of God's Word. Feel free to contact us for a list of our literature or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. Next time, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at how the resurrection of Christ transforms hearts and lives.
We are living in an era when many are declaring back to Pentecost with its signs, miracles, and wonders. Sadly, this unsound teaching is sweeping through the church at an alarming rate, insomuch that speaking in tongues has become the standard of truly being spiritual. Thankfully, Paul's gospel is the answer to this confusion. With this in mind, this 65-page booklet addresses the subject dispensationally. To order supernatural sign gifts of the Acts period, contact Berean Bible Society at P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin 53022, or call 262-255-4750, or visit online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.